Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our podcast, Our Two Cents Let's Chat. As always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Kirtana.
Hello!
And so today, I just wanted to share, before we get started, that all of our AdSense that we make from you listening to this podcast will be donated to the World Health Organization COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund, which sort of leads us into our topic.
Yes, so today's topic is COVID-19. Where do we go from here? We're recording this in mid-July. School's about to start back up in a couple weeks. Everyone that Vivek and I know, they're all going back to school next year. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going back to work next year. So it kind of puts us in this mindset of where do we go from here? Last year was so turbulent and just confusing, I feel like, in a lot of ways. And now with all this news surrounding the Delta variant and all these other variants, where do we go from here? How do we respond to this? How do we react to this? So that's right. Kind of what we will be touching on in this episode.
Right. And I mean, the thing with, not to jump right into it, but the thing that I found kind of funny about this pandemic is just like how stupid it made Americans specifically, and also, you know, just humans in general look. Mm. I mean, it's really crazy to me how many people are out there, not unbelievable, but crazy to me how many people out there are so reluctant to follow, you know, the latest science or whatever, you know, scientists have found out to be the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that has always been an inherent quality among all of humanity, if I can say so. I think we're always reluctant to believe in things that we can't see or feel or touch.
Right.
Not to be redundant. But I also, what I think, just from like the conversations I've had over the past year, most of the people who don't believe that this virus exists or that it is something that is tangible, or, you know, there are people who believe that it's just some sort of medical scam.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. These are the people that also, you know, go around kind of stating these statistics like, oh, well, COVID doesn't even, you know, it doesn't mean anything because, or it's not real because, you know, 98-99% of all people who have contracted COVID are living. But it's like, hello, where are you getting the statistic? This statistic is backed by science. Right. So it's kind of funny how, you know, these whatever, quote unquote, unbelievers, if I may say so.
Right.
I mean, oftentimes, like, their statements are backed by science.
Right. So. And the fact that they'll do exactly what you said, which is they'll say there is no COVID because 98% of people catching it aren't dying. Well, that's not, yeah. It's like you don't even know how to form an argument that means, because you basically just said, no, there is no COVID, but the people who catch COVID, they don't die. Which, first of all, there is not. I won't say there's not truth, because there is some truth to the fact that not everybody catching it is dying. However, that statement is so fraught with like oxymoronic or not to go all wordy here, but misanthropic state, like parts of the statement to say that something doesn't exist. And then in the very next breath, say that like, it's not killing many people. Like people, like, how stupid are we?
I think that mindset also comes from a lot of apathy. I feel like people, we are just intrinsically apathetic. And right. It comes from this sense of, why should we care? Why should I care? Like, I've lived my life to its full extent. Why should I care if other people are dying? Ugh. And even out of the people who are dying, maybe it's just a small percent of people. So I'm going to do whatever I want, and I won't wear a mask, and I won't get vaccinated, because why should I care?
Right.
So, yeah, I feel like it's a culmination of all these different things, these thought processes that people have kind of developed.
Well, and now, like you said in the beginning, life is starting to, you know, return back to normal. We do still have the Delta variant, and, you know, that's still a very real threat, of course. But it seems like people are getting back to normal. We're going, a lot of the students who were virtual last year are going back to school in person next year. A lot of adults are, you know, going back to the workplace, even though, again, just like students, some aren't. But I think if I could just jump to something for 1 second, the thing that I think is most devastating about COVID, besides, of course, the obvious physical component, is like this. I don't want to make it seem like this big thing, but this like trauma that a lot of people have had from this like event, like it's so shocking, you know, that it's traumatic. You know what I mean?
No.
Well,
can
I mean,
explain it a little bit more?
Right. Yeah. So obviously we all know that holding trauma, in your body, it has severe emotional, severe mental, severe, you know, physical, effects. Some people have endured deep loss, or, you know, just loneliness and heartache as well. And I mean, I can't imagine experiencing that because I'm just one of those people that's like always talking no matter what. But I can imagine, I know it's kind of, again, oxymoronic that I just said I can't imagine, but I can see how some people that are already introverted and are now being forced to stay at home, they, you know, can't go see and talk to the people that they care about or their friends. I do see how that immense hardship is almost, it is, in my opinion, sort of trauma that people are holding in their bodies. And like, I think we need to, you know, I don't want to make this into such a big thing, but I do think there needs to be some room for, you know, how people felt. We all have something to share. And so we need to, you know, hold space for one another, in my opinion.
I completely agree. I think the past 16 months, I feel like at some point all of us have at one point felt liberated. I'm sure at some point throughout the pandemic, we felt like we've hit rock bottom.
Right.
It was traumatic, and it is crazy to think that, who knows, maybe 5-10 years from now, we'll look back on this if it ever ends. and we'll be like, wow, that was crazy. It was
right.
I experienced that sort of roller coaster of emotions in such a short period of time.
Right.
Like, even this vaccine has been developed in a record period of time. So it's crazy that just in 16 months, it was like, you know, we really took the hit. And, you know, COVID cases, at least in the US, were the worst they had ever been last late spring, early summer. And then, you know, that kind of dissipated in a couple months. And then immediately there was talk of the vaccine. And also with the election cycle, there really was so much trauma that we were all holding on to. And I feel like a lot of people, I feel like that's what the summer has been about too. Everyone is like, you know, people are getting vaccinated. They're like getting back into it. Their
right.
regular routines of hanging out with their friends, their family, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it also, is a little bit concerning because this pandemic is not over, and that is scary, and it's something that I feel like a lot of us don't want to accept. We want to just move on with our lives and forget it ever happened, but there are so many people left who aren't vaccinated, and I feel like we should all still continue to be mindful
right.
of that
well,
population as well.
Right.
While we figure out how we feel and as individuals about, you know, everything that happened over the past year,
right.
et cetera.
Right. And this kind of reminds me of, I read an article the other day, because I'm always reading articles, useless political articles, but actually about COVID, and it was about this very thing we're talking about, you know, where do we go from here, sort of. And I remember, I forget the author's name, but they put it so eloquently. They said something like, we all have something to share. We need to heal together what injuries we sustained when we couldn't experience the moment with each other. We need to, you know, listen to each other and, you know, shed tears. I don't think they meant that literally. I think they meant we need to show our emotions, or, you know, hold, you know, again, metaphorically, if you've not been vaccinated, please don't hug anyone. But, you know, they were saying that that's what will help us heal as, you know, a nation, as a people.
Yes, and I feel like you said earlier, I feel like a lot of us are still holding on to that bit of trauma, and we're kind of just, again, because this entire cycle throughout this pandemic has moved so rapidly, it's almost like you blink and we're on to the next step already.
Right.
Today, actually, I watched Bo Burnham's, who is a comedian, of course, his special Inside on Netflix, and I know I'm very late, and I'm sure everyone else has already watched it by now, but just watching it, sitting there for that like hour and a half and just watching it made me realize that I have had so many emotions that I have not personally processed throughout this pandemic, from like not attending school for a year to having an entire, like, you know, to having my entire sophomore year robbed from me, and next year we're going to junior year and it's all these APs and, you know, standardized testing, and it is all like scary, and it does feel like everything kind of creeped up on me, but it's also, I have so much empathy for, you know, everyone else around me too because of that, because it feels like, oh no, we are all going through this at the same time, and, well, and we were all robbed of a year in our life, so yeah.
Well, and that's what that's one of the this is kind of related, unrelated, is that so many things also happened at the same time as the pandemic, as you were mentioning earlier.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like, and everything seemed to converge on 2020, you know. It was really like a perfect storm of things that were like almost, I don't want to say determined and personify them, but determined to, you know, kind of humans apart, you know, even things that were as simple as, oh, these past 2 weeks have been rainy and gloomy and I haven't been able to go outside. That, you know, it can still have effects on your psyche, you know, if I stick to that example, if you are someone who goes outside a lot and you find that this one thing that was giving you stability during this very stable time is gone, like, that's something that can really affect you.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I feel like this pandemic has only exacerbated pre-existing conditions. And I don't mean that medically. I mean, like, I feel like once COVID hit, we were all like, all the things that we as a society, as a community, sort of resisted or kind of endured prior to this pandemic, we were kind of like, once it hit, I feel like everyone was like, enough is enough. Like, you know, I think we all just kind of got fed up with everything that was going on, whether it was, whether it's income equality or racism or, you know, racially targeted hate or anything, whether it was the election, misinformation, the spread of like digital misinformation. I feel like we all just, it all hit us at once forever. And I feel like it, all of that kind of culminated and hit everyone at once. And it was just kind of like, we were waiting to explode and the pandemic just kind of, you know, lit the fuse.
Right. Well, and I mean, we probably do want to move on to, like, the physical aspect, but just if I can add one more thing to this mental aspect, I mean, a year and a half ago, am I doing that mental math correctly? Anyway, a year and a half ago or so, the world was so, like, almost blissfully and dangerously at the same time, ignorant of the, you know,
existence. I would say 2 years ago, 1.5 years ago, like, March, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So 2 years ago, people were just like, so, no, I mean, right at the beginning, like, people were so.
Oh, once the pandemic hit?
Yeah. Once the pandemic hit.
Okay.
Maybe a few months ago. What was I going to? Oh, yes. a year and a few months ago, it's like everyone was so. I won't say everyone was so happy, but everyone was much happier relatively, you know? And, like, we were so blissfully ignorant of, you know, the existence of the virus.
I completely agree. Like, remember, like, they call it, like, phase one. Like, phase one of the pandemic where everyone was making sourdough and banana bread and they were, you know, it was like all those TikTok dances. Stop. That takes me back. Stop. That takes me back. Yeah. Oh,
do I have to go
back? I completely agree. I think even at the beginning, I feel like a lot of people kind of saw this whole thing, because even to us, it was kind of advertised as like, oh, it's like an extended spring break. We didn't know that we would be at home for the next 16 months. I feel like because of that, I feel like people kind of thought, you know what, the school year is ending, you know, like summer's around the corner. Maybe this pandemic is a good, not a good thing, but it's like, maybe this is what we all needed to kind of, you know, just stay home for a little bit and kind of settle down and all of that. And then obviously, it took a very, very sharp right turn. And then we all became depressed. Yay.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least a lot of us went into very dark places. I should correct myself.
Yes, that's That is, I mean, that's true. Yeah. I don't know if you mind, but I'd like to move now to the physical aspect if we can.
Yes, of course. I do not
Is
mind at
something
all.
wrong? Is something
No.
wrong, Kithana? Oh my gosh. Anyway, so the coronavirus as a virus, we've all heard people say over the past year and a few months that
You're
it's,
screaming into my ear, but okay.
well, deal with it. Anyway, that it's this like super smart strain of virus, and it's true because, I mean, I don't want to dive into, the biology of a disease, but
Oh
like,
no, please do. Please do.
yeah.
Enlighten
Do you
us.
remember when there was, I hate to call it SARS-1, but SARS-1, and
Yeah.
people were
I don't
catching it.
remember, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't remember either. Let me make it clear. I was not focused on the state of worldly affairs at that time, but people were, catching it, but people didn't seem to have this like fervor just over it
Yes,
in general,
I completely agree. I feel like that was kind of the initial reaction to this pandemic because like the first thing they were like is like, no, we have to go into lockdown. Like immediately all of these restrictions were placed, and I feel like that kind of only scared people more because I think a lot of people felt like, well, like what's the big deal? Like we've gone through like multiple flus. We've gone through, SARS one, we've gone through whatever, all of these epidemics. What makes this so different and why do we have to close ourselves or shut ourselves out from the outside world for this particular virus? What makes this so different and so much worse than anything else that we've gone through before? And I feel like that also kind of, especially among older generations, kind of again made them apathetic and made them feel like, oh please, I've gone through like 20 of these just in my lifetime, like what's the big deal? And then we lost an entire generation of boomers, so maybe
I
they
remember, yeah, maybe just a teeny bit more, stay home, wear your mask, don't, go out and protest us somehow making you get a vaccine. Anyway, I remember another quote I saw was from, oh gosh, what was her name? I think Angela, her last name escapes me right this moment, but this Angela character, I
I'm
think she
thinking of
was
Angela from The Office, but okay.
stall.
I'm just imagining
Okay,
her. Go ahead.
anyway,
How
Angela,
chaotic.
yeah, this she was a virologist. I think she was associated with the Georgetown Center. And I think one of the things I read in an article that she wrote is that to all of the major virus research and, data that she had done and collected, she could clearly say that the host response is a major determinant, if not the only major determinant, of disease severity. So I feel like not a bunch of us are too surprised by that, but I think it kind of goes to show you that if humans had just sort of put their heads down and done what they needed to, which it seemed like plenty of countries were, I'm saying global community because of course we're right here in the deep south in Georgia and America, but like if they had just sacrificed, maybe we won't be here with what, I don't know how many Americans, 600,000 dead.
Oh yes. But also like then again, when do people ever do what we're told to do?
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm not so much surprised at the reaction. I was more so surprised at the intensity of the immense numbers of people who were, like you said, out there protesting the fact that they couldn't get a haircut. I was like, girl, no. I mean,
Oh,
just
come on. We
I
have
was like,
real
you can wait
problems.
a couple months. If not, you have a pair of scissors at home. But yes, I definitely was surprised by the intensity at which people were coming out and rallying and kind of fighting against this virus. And it was kind of, at the time, it was, I found it humorous. It was kind of like, this is, as you said in the beginning, this is so stupid. You could stay at home and you could be quite literally, like, you could help save lives by staying home. But instead, you are out here complaining that businesses aren't bending to your will.
Right.
Even though it is privately owned and they have the right to do whatever they want to.
I don't know. Exactly.
Well, these are the same people that are saying it is their constitutional right to go out and protest and to get a haircut and to have all these, you know, businesses open to them. But it's also the right of these privately owned businesses to do as they please and handle their businesses as they please. So if they mandate masks, then you should go and wear a mask instead of protesting that.
Right.
I don't know. Just like to interject for a second, the person he was talking about, the virologist, her name is Angela Rasmussen, because
Rasmussen.
Give credit to
Rasmussen.
Okay. Yeah. We gotta give credit.
Yeah, thank
but,
you. Thank
yeah,
you
go ahead.
I could not have found that name. Thank you very much. But I think a huge thing then in you know, the midst of the pandemic, one of my relatives worked in a workplace that had mandated masks. And this was at the height of the pandemic, maybe. And this person around them wasn't wearing a mask, this one person. And so they asked that person, why are you not wearing a mask? They're mandated. And this person just like nonchalantly replied, oh, I already had COVID. I'm good for 3 months. And it's not even that I'm disputing the science behind like, oh, with 3 months, you're okay to not wear a mask. I think that's bullshit. I think you should still wear a mask no matter what. But no one is here for my opinion on the latest, you know, biological news. But just the nonchalance kind of surprises me, you know?
Yeah, I just think that's like, that is that little anecdote that you shared with us is just one of the formative reasons why this pandemic got or reached the levels that it has reached. Because people don't take it seriously. And I, again, we know that there is science backing up this whole thing of if you've had COVID, your antibodies last for however long. Mm-hmm. But Vivek and I, obviously, even now, there are so many people, or at least half the Americans, half of all Americans are vaccinated, but still Vivek and I do encourage everyone to wear a mask despite whether you're vaccinated or not, because there are also people who have had COVID and then they have been, you know, they've gotten both their doses. And sure, you as an individual may be protected, but it's always good to be mindful of the people in your community, because you never know who is at risk and who is predisposed to such conditions, you know, that can really... It could really affect the people around you. So it's always good to be mindful
of that. Yeah.
Despite your own condition and how well protected you yourself are.
Correct. Right. I totally agree. And I think one of the things that's kind of shocking to me is that, yeah, okay, it's getting better. But like, can we really ignore the fact that, you know, about half of the U.S. population was so ignorant that, you know, they were going out to eat and stuff. And like, I'm an old man. I go on drives with my family all the time. I used to see all these people, you know, in downtown Alpharetta out eating or out shopping. Like, can we really ignore the fact that half of the population didn't care enough to stay home?
Again, we can't, but I also feel like I hate to be that person. I hate to be the pessimist, but I feel like there's only so much rallying we can do of people to get them to listen. Similarly, I remember I would drive back from school every day or every other day, because I was a hybrid student last year, with my dad, and I would pass by this one particular high school, and every single day, all those kids would be walking out of school in these like mobs. You know how like schools have walkers, of course, if you live within whatever 2 mile radius, you can walk home. And there would literally be kids who are in groups of like 10, 15 people, and they would all just crowd together and they would walk towards like the local CVS and McDonald's. And it would just like, I would get so annoyed. None of them would wear masks. They were all kind of on top of each other. And it was kind of like, you know, you're the reason, you know, it's your fault.
Right.
And these are the same kids who are complaining, oh, I just want my life to go back to normal. And I just want, well, I mean, there's a very easy way you can do that.
Right.
But also, like, Yeah, according to CDC. Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, and these variants, man, you know, I mean, like, it's just crazy to think that, you know, we've gotten to Delta. We've gotten to Delta, the Delta variant, just because people all around the world wouldn't listen and stay home. And I think that also plays into a bit of a disparity between peoples in different countries, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it also has to do with the fact that, the developing countries such as India or
Right.
other Southeast Asian countries, they don't have the resources they need to fight this virus efficiently. And
Right.
it's so clear and so evident because, these rural villages in India who don't even have like they don't even have the They don't even have facilities where they're conducting vaccinations and
Right.
et cetera, et cetera. It's in places like this where there is no immunization, so therefore there is no protection against the virus at all.
Right.
I feel like right now our again, I am no strategist. I do not work for the government, but I feel like our priority, because we have seen kind of, the numbers at which Americans have been getting vaccinated, and although we still have miles to go, I think we are at a optimistic place, is what I will
Right.
say. I feel like as a country, it is also our responsibility to then reach out to the nations around the globe who are still struggling
Right.
and
Yeah.
kind of, give them the means to set up COVID facilities, et
Right.
cetera, and kind of take care
Well,
of themselves.
and as cheesy as it sounds, and you're gonna hate me for saying this, but like kindness, respect, and communication are the key. If countries would have kind of bonded together and fought this thing as a group of, you know, world leaders, I personally think we would have had more success. I do.
Don't think that's to say that there isn't time or opportunity to do that now. Like we
Oh,
can, there's
no, of course
still,
not.
yeah. Even I feel like it has been happening with even celebrities kind of rallying forth on social media and being and kind of like reaching out to world leaders and being like, hey, like your country has all these extra vaccine doses. Do you mind donating them to this country, et cetera, et cetera? I feel like that is now happening, and there's a lot more networking that is going now than there was a year ago or even 6 months ago. So that is
Right.
something to kind of be optimistic for. So yeah, what's your take on kind of the COVID cases and the surge that we saw in Southeast Asia, like the past couple of
Oh,
months?
well, I don't know about the entire Southeast Asia, but I know that I can definitely and will definitely give my perspective on the Matrubhumi, the motherland of
Ah, oh, the
India.
motherland,
Yeah.
Bharat Mata ki.
I know. Vande. Okay. So I mean, in I feel like it's so reflective of how far backwards India has moved. And I know, like, there are gonna be some Indian kids who listen to this and, you know, crucify me for saying that, you know, there's anything wrong with India. But the problem with India, the problem with the way that, you know, us desis in India act is that we sort of. And you can also kind of see this with, you know, applying for green cards and shit like that with like citizenship in America. We don't really, you know, we think the rule, like personally, each family
Doesn't
thinks
apply
the
to us.
rule applies to everybody but us.
Yeah.
It's like,
I
oh
think.
yeah, everybody should stay home, but don't worry, we'll be okay, you know?
Yes, I think especially native Indians have this way of sort of if there is any problems, or if the motherland, as he said, or if India is on attack in any way, they kind of have a way of just kind of throwing those issues under the bus and acting like they don't exist and as if it's not a problem that their government is facing, which is disturbing. But I feel like in at least in the first 14 to 15 months, that's how they kind of handled COVID.
Right.
They kind of ignored it, and they were kind of like, even the restrictions were kind of very loose. They were like, wear a mask if you want, but if you don't want to, that's cool too.
Yeah.
And then I feel like they really took the hit in May and June. And even just talking to my relatives, I could really, when I was on the phone with them or when I was on FaceTime with them, I really could kind of sense this fear that they were all feeling back there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know about you. I have lost family to COVID in India. I'm sure, lots
Same.
of,
I have too.
yeah, I'm sure lots of, Desi kids or Desi families have. And I just think it's like all of that is happening, and still there is absolutely, like, humans are just greedy. I'm sorry, like, they're just stupid, greedy pigs. But, like, I mean, it's so, like, not even shocking. It's so crazy to me that everyone around the world is seeing this level of death. And, I'm
We're
talking
just
about
kind of
world leaders, and they're not willing to do the, my dad says this all the time, do the needful. It's just crazy.
I feel like this is the time where if there are any extremes that you kind of go to as a political leader or as a world leader, this would be the time to go to that extreme and get
Oh,
things
yeah.
done. The time where everyone is rather, going the other way and kind of just sitting down and being like, okay, it is what it is. It's like, hello, we did
Right.
not elect you for you to sit here and, pathetically say it is what it is and this is the state of our world.
Right.
Do
Right.
something.
This is the time to, like, FDR this bullshit and, like, spend mass amounts of federal money. That's, of
Yes.
course, a reference, not an actual suggestion. But, and, really use the power that you have under your control.
I feel like that's
Here in
all any of
America.
us. I feel like that's like good advice for all of us. It's all any of
Right.
us can do is use the power that we're given, whether that's, the amount of followers you have on social media or just speaking up and using your voice. Like
Right.
it's needed now more than ever during this pandemic, when there are so many
And
disparities, whether it's among like class or race or whatever it may be.
right.
So,
Well, and there's plenty of, people, I'm sure in your circle too, but, like, in my circle, who will, like, post things on Instagram. And a lot of the times the questions, like, I post things, and a lot of times the questions, I get are like, there are 60, 70 people liking this, which, yes, I know that's a pathetic number of likes, but they are, asking me, why do you post it? There's like 60 people, and they're just liking it because it comes up on the feed. And it's like, even if one person
Takes
is
away something
educated
from
or
that.
takes something away, yeah, or not even take something away, if one person, sort of feels inspired to talk to a family member or to do something to get
It's worth
involved,
it. It's
it's worth
absolutely worth
it.
it. I
Right.
completely
Like,
agree.
I'll take the humiliation of my 60, 70 likes and, like, sacrifice that, my dignity, sacrifice my dignity for one person to,
Is
become
always
smarter.
one for the dramatics you are,
Well, yeah, that's true.
but yeah, I completely agree. And also it's not I don't neither of us are trying to be regressive when we sort of criticize these, people who have been rather apathetic and who haven't taken action, cough cough Modi, cough cough. But our intention isn't to be regressive because also we are in such a we're not in a great place. A
Right.
better place than we were 16 months ago, and I feel like that is something worth being happy about. If there's
Yeah.
nothing else to be, optimistic for, that's one thing.
Right,
And that's kind of what
exactly.
I'm reminding myself every day is kind of it could be a lot worse. So we've seen a
Right.
lot worse. So yeah.
Right. Well, and I mean,
And
more
that also
since.
comes from like such a privileged place because we do live here and
Right.
vaccines are being rolled out in record numbers here, but that's not the case in all these developing countries, whether especially in the Eastern Hemisphere, as we were talking about earlier, it's not the case. And I feel like that's also why
Right.
all the AdSense for this episode is going towards the COVID Solidarity Response Fund, because that's what the World Health Organization is doing. They're going to these developing
Right.
countries and setting up COVID relief sites. So
Right.
yeah.
Well, and since I promised myself I wasn't gonna, but since you did mention
No,
Modi's
get
name,
political.
yeah, since you did mention Modi's name, I feel that it's, beneficial to mention that we're not talking about apathy when we're talking about these world leaders. Some of them have just like expressed this pure, and you know, I don't know if it's their desire and their, you know, desperateness to cling on to their fan base, or to, I don't know what it is, but some of them act in favor of the virus. And when I say in favor of the virus, I mean actually like with malice. Like Moldy allowing a million people for a religious celebration that could easily be done at home. You know, you can break a matke, a pot, at home. You don't need to do it like, you know, with a million other people. Or like Trump allowing his rallies to continue, or allowing certain things, or not mandating masks, whatever it is. Like, this is actually psychopathic behavior.
Yeah, I completely agree. Credit goes to inaction. And again, like we were just saying a couple minutes ago, it's all about how you handle your power. And if these, if leaders like Modi and Trump, just even if they just tweeted out something that was like, no, like cancel this rally or cancel this celebration, like don't gather tomorrow, that has so much, that creates such an impact. But these people who do carry the weight of a country, who have literally been, you know, given all this responsibility, when they act in such ways, you can't help but feel like, wow, it's all going to shit. Like, like, wow,
exactly.
The people that we trusted and elected to run this nation, if they can't act the way they're supposed to, then how are the rest of us supposed to react? And that's also very frustrating. And I feel like that's also
some of us elected and some Russians. But I remember, I'm trying to remember their name and I can't think of it right now. But another thing was like, not even the variants, even within one variant, and also within all the variants, there was, you know, people who were asymptomatic, people who were symptomatic, people who had long COVID, people who got better in a few days, you know, it's like, there's so much that we don't know that we should really, you know, be afraid. And I'm not saying that, you know, like, be afraid, we're all gonna die. I'm saying we don't know. It's better to be, you know, afraid than dead.
Don't let go of that fear yet. We're not saying, like, again, according to, who, like, we're not a part of the CDC. They do know a lot better than we do. And according to them, they have obviously changed their regulations. And now if you're fully vaccinated, you're free to do as you please and go back to regular life. But we are saying kind of take it with a grain of salt, because, you know, the scientists at the CDC are also the same people who are saying that we still have yet to know every single thing about this virus, and we don't. So, take it with a grain of salt.
I still think it was ridiculous of the CDC to say, you know, if you're unvaccinated or if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. And then immediately after that say, oh, but still wear masks in schools.
Oh, no, I was thinking about the Delta variant. But
why would they not say, you know, wear masks in schools in the report or before that report? Because you just know the you know, crazies in this country, and I'm sure a bunch of crazies all around the globe are going to take that and run with it. Oh, we don't need to wear a mask even when we're in schools, even when we're around kids. Please.
I believe it was in the past 4 weeks, like the global sort of the rate for COVID has gone up by 12% globally just in the past 4 weeks. And we're also talking about how at this point in time, the most people all across, like, this is the time, like right now as we're speaking in July, this is the first time that this many number of people have been vaccinated around the world.
Right.
So, okay, wait.
I mean,
I don't know what I said. What did you say before that? I completely lost track.
Did you see my text, by the way?
Yes, I did. And your notifications keep coming in, so I don't know what to look at.
Well, okay. Anyway,
I didn't see it. Wait, go back. What were you saying before that? What were we talking about? Because I'll say my last thing before, and then you can wrap it up. Before what I just said about, what did I just say?
I was talking about how the CDC released a report that said you can stop wearing masks if you're vaccinated, but then immediately after that, after being the key word, chose to release a report that said keep wearing them in schools.
So what was I gonna say?
I think you were saying something about how like I think you were saying so I feel like you were saying something about like if you want to wear a mask, wear it, but like I'm not sure.
I don't know, man.
Wrap it up then.
I feel like there are still some points. What did you say before? Why can't I remember? Okay,
Oh
so it was
yeah,
just like it
that's
was
what I
just
said, I
like
promise.
the
That's all I said.
Okay, wait. Feel like there's something else we should be talking about. I
And
feel like
by the
there was
way,
something
just
that we
while you're
missed.
thinking about that,
What?
while
How do
you're
you want to
thinking
wrap
about
it up?
that, I was gonna say something like really cheesy along the lines of like, so if we can leave you with one thing, be optimistic, but don't be too optimistic. Be a realist. The world is getting slightly better, but still be cautious and be safe.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, so I actually just remembered
Yeah.
what I was saying. Okay.
Okay. What I
We
was
can, we should,
going to say is,
yeah.
while you're ever there were a few times that it cut out, so when I'm editing, if I find like a place where it's cut out and I can think of a voice clip to record just to fit in there, I'm gonna
Yeah.
tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you need me to record it too, like I'll help you with it. We don't have
okay
people
okay
coming until Wednesday, but yeah.
yeah
Okay. Okay, so I'll start.
okay
Yeah, so I've seen that report too, and I feel like, I don't know, man. I feel like it just leads to a lot of confusion. One minute it's like, we feel like, okay, we can go back to life, but then it's also like all these variants are popping up, so it's like, what do we do? And just today I saw a recent report saying that globally, the number of COVID cases have increased by 12% just over the last 4 weeks. So that's also, a point of concern. It's kind of like
Hi.
where, that's exactly it. COVID-19, where do we go from here? Where are we at?
Yeah.
And where do we go from here?
Right.
So, yeah, it is
So if we had
scary.
it's very scary. And if we had to leave you with one thing today, we would say yes, have hope. The world is getting slightly better. However, that does not mean that you should be, overly optimistic. Be a realist. Recognize that we're still in some deep doo-doo. We still got a while to dig ourselves out of this hole. And so just remember again for the last time, I'm sure you're tired of us saying this, but whatever we make from you listening to this episode will go to the World Health Organization's COVID-19 Global Solidarity Response Fund. What a mouthful that is.
What a mouthful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
But yeah, we hope you enjoyed this episode.
And before we wrap it up here, I would just like to say one last time, if you aren't vaccinated, please, please, please get vaccinated. Check out vaccines.gov and you will find all your resources there. But once again, please get vaccinated. And in the meantime, make sure you're washing your hands, make sure you're wearing your mask, following all the restrictions and regulations and guidelines, etc. Thank you.
Brought to you by Deekshu Devrasetty for editing, Vanshika Khatwani and Jasmine White for graphics, Puneet Bajwa and Sanj Varyani for socials, and to my wonderful co-host Kirtana for putting up with me.